Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you know each person here. You know the circumstances that surround us, you know where, you know, what we've been thinking about, what we've been doing today. Just thank you for your amazing knowledge and your love and your care. And Lord, I pray that as I share this morning, you speak to each of us in a way that we need to hear from you. And I pray you bless our time together and my Lord, to bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. 40 years since I moved to live in Harwell and taught for a while in this place. So my tithe, I moved away a couple of years later, but my tithe with the parish here has continued for a long, long time. And it's not a light thing, but I just want to really appreciate the parishes of Harwell and Chilton for their support for me as I've served in Africa for a long, long time. Many of you have come since I was here, but this church has been a great support to me. And so it makes it so special to be able to come back here from time to time. I came back to live in the UK in the end of 2015, and I actually did come to share in earlier in 2016 about, I talked then about reflections on my 30 years in Africa. But the last 2 years have also been a time of great learning for me, and it's also a sense that God brought me back at the right time, because I was able to spend actually a few months living with my mother and caring for her, just over her illness and final death earlier this year. And of course now I'm going through that season of loss and grief that is common to all of us when we lose those close to us. But of course, alongside my own journey of change and loss, I've also watched from a distance what's been happening in Africa. And many of the places very dear to my heart actually have been going through unprecedented horrors. Just before I came to teach in this part, I was teaching in northern Nigeria for a few years. That's what gave me my love for Africa. And therefore I've kept in touch over the years. And also the mission that I later joined to serve with had got its roots of service in Nigeria to Sudan United Mission, changed the name to Action Partners, changed again to Pioneers, some literature back about Pioneers, you're able to take if you'd like. So as I've watched, I've discovered that the thriving church that was founded by my mission and some other missions said that the church that they planted is like millions and millions are strong now. But there has been huge attacks on the Christian people. You will follow the stories of Boko Haram and how they abducted girls. Some of them are still being held. Others were taken earlier this year. But parallel to that, that has never really reached the news in the UK, is the attacks of the Fulani, who are a nomadic Muslim tribe. And as they come into central, northern, from northern Nigeria into the central region, and they've been burning lands, burning churches, murdering people, raping women, and so on. And in fact, the church leaders have said recently that what's happening is pure genocide. And they reckon that over 6,000 people, mainly women and children, have been murdered by the radical Fulanis. But of course, most of my own history was in Sudan. And sometimes I think I may use there any easier years, because in 2011 the country separated, the South Sudanese seceded from the North. And that meant that the North could say, oh, we're an Islamic country with no reason to tolerate the Christians. And so even some Christian communities that have been there for a long, long time have got proper buildings registered, legally owned and everything. From the earlier part of the 20th century. A lot of those properties have been taken back by the government and people harassed in all sorts of ways. The community I work with, very much in the shanty towns of Khartoum, a lot of their buildings have been knocked down, and some of the pastors were abducted, well, not abducted, so were imprisoned for various sort of silly reasons. And I know that you prayed for Pastor Hatton. He was in prison when I was last here, and of course he was released last year. But he's now run away to the States with his family, sought asylum there. And that's a great loss to the church in Sudan, as he was a real man of God. And of course there's lots more attacks continuing. And some of it's just racial, not just Muslim against the Christians, because in Darfur they have been killing Muslims as well. But most recently I've been in South Sudan, and since their independence in 2011, which we thought was going to be fantastic, you've got real hopes for peace and future prosperity, but actually tribal divisions have broken out. And so you've got government armies and militias from the opposition who just attack other villages and people at random. Women rape, people of different tribes are believed to be supporting the other side, have been slaughtered or buried alive, burned alive. And finally, the college that I was working at in 2016, in 2016, they had to close because there was no way of supporting, no way of feeding the students, and they were afraid to be there. So there have been some talks for peace, and the latest ones, people are quite optimistic that maybe they can rebuild their country again. But then it's very unstable, and just last Sunday afternoon, one of the organisations I used to work with was taking a vehicle from one town to another, and some, you don't know who yet, shot at the vehicle, stopped the vehicle, and shot and killed the passenger. Just a young man of 34 with a wife and children. So very, very unstable peace as yet. Now I'm back in UK, and each day I'm so aware of all the cultural and societal changes of the 30 years that I've been away. Feels like I come to a different place, and I wonder if I'll ever really belong. It can be quite lonely at times. I've got some good friends. They just moved to Sheffield, which is great. They're closer to me. Just an hour up the road from Derby. On Wednesday, the husband died of a heart attack. So that's my story. I guess each person here would have their own story. Maybe the international situations that you, and maybe some people follow situations closely, and you're really caught up by the horror from that. Maybe it's something in your own family. Again, something I realised, as you barely meet somebody, and if you really talk to them, there's not something in the family that's really painful. Some loss or confusion, broken relationships, or, just so much mental health issues and so on. And it just makes us cry out in our hearts at times, why? God, why? How long? How long must this continue? How long will God seem silent? I wonder, what do you do? What do I do when things seem out of control? Well, the Bible is good to know, isn't it, that the Bible has a lot to say about pain and lament. And lament is something that I will be sharing today, and something I've thought about a lot over the last couple of years especially. Because sometimes we can grow up thinking that we should be happy, and immediately we should trust in the Lord for everything and not focus on our questions, but just focus on praise. But actually, yes, at the centre of lament is that sense that God is no longer present. And that's what we saw in the psalm we read. And it's good, isn't it, to know that in the Bible there is so much there about pain and loss. We all know about Job. He lost everything but remained faithful. We know that David and Jeremiah also went to great lengths of sorrow and loss, and able to pour out their hearts to God. And having those words in Scripture actually can give us words for our deep and raw emotions when we can't find our own. And if we just overlook them, we're missing something out, because if you don't need it now, you might do one day. When we pretend to be fine when in our hearts we're breaking, that's actually very unhealthy for us. And the theologian Brueggemann, he says that worship minus lament is finally a practice of denial, cover-up, and pretense. Lament needs a voice, and it shouldn't be bottled up. And there's also a book that goes through laments in the Bible that I found very helpful, written by Michael Card. And he then says that a lament is one of the most direct paths to the true praise we know we have lost. In fact, lament is not a path to worship, but the path of worship. So that's why the Psalms are there, isn't it? There's so many of those Psalms are laments, written by David, and they're there to help us when we challenge, when it's political or personal things that are challenging us. When things come up on the television, untold suffering, we read something in the newspaper, and we cry, why? How long, Lord? Not again, Lord. And David says here, how long? Four times he cries out to God. But he moves on, and something I think is quite helpful in, when you picked it up when we read it, it says, look on me and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes. What a great thing to ask God for when we're pouring out our hearts of frustration and pain. How, give light to my eyes. Give me his perspective for something. For something to change in me and so I can face what is lying ahead. And certainly for David, that prayer seems to have been answered in that moment, because he's able to conclude his psalm by saying, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. We don't know, of course, the time span. Sometimes there's a long journey between the pain and coming through to finding the hope. And some people talk to the dark night of the soul to describe a season of sadness and confusion when God seems distant. Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, a whole book full of laments. I don't know finally if it's written by him, but it could have done, because he was desperate over the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And actually, if you read through the book, it could sound like you're talking about Sudan. The horrors that are described there, not just Sudan, but all sorts of countries, I guess. He laments things like the hunger, the cannibalism, desolation, untold suffering is there, of innocent people suffering, instead of what the guilty should be suffering. And often the women and children, again and again, seem to be the victims. And we know that to be true. Certainly in South Sudan, the women and children, and in other wars, they're the most vulnerable. And they're to be very, very special to God. Of course, the verse is always in the first person. He's taking the pain on himself as he's become a laughingstock, because people laugh at him. His whole body, physically, as he's in desolation. And actually, he did read the three positive verses in the whole of the book. It's the only time when something seems to click in him and he's able to say, yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. And certainly the hymn that we'll sing later, that's written, Great is thy faithfulness, it doesn't just focus on the lament. It does bring us into the New Testament and the hope that we can have. In the New Testament, we know that the final answer to all these unanswerable questions of pain, loss and suffering is there in Jesus. And it's the message of the cross. The suffering, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. He paid the price for our sin and made it possible for us to have a relationship with God. And he's given us that eternal hope. And he also, we know that as disciples of Jesus, he's never promised it's all going to be easy. And he says whoever wants to lose their life, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And so when our world is turned upside down, when we're confused and desperate. Let's take time to sit with that pain, not rush quickly to the hopeful gospel, just to remember and learn to express our pain. And use scripture to help us. A colleague of mine did this exercise with some South Sudanese people in theological training, helping the Sudanese pastors who know that they are involved in ministry with people who are going through some of these horrendous experiences. And one of the students wrote, "Lord, hear our prayers. Listen to our cry for help. Don't turn away from us when we have trouble. Listen to us and answer us quickly when we cry for help. Our life as South Sudanese is puffing away like smoke. Our life is like fire slowly burning out. Our strength is gone. We're like dying grass. We don't even have food to eat because our country is in economic crisis." And we're not going to read them all, but you can see, trying to write it like a psalm, "My soul, my soul, why are you so afraid?" And the refrain, he talks about to his soul. Again, "With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord, my Father in heaven, can you help? Let me hear your voice, give us your mercy." And I thought it might be helpful just to say that I have been working things through the last couple of years. Some of the things that actually helped me, I thought I would share with you in case you're going through things and it might be helpful to somebody here. One is actually trying to do what we've done with the students, and that's actually to write them down, because your head can buzz with confusing thoughts and things coming at you and you don't know how to pray. And if you can't pray out loud to God or in your head to God, take out a pen and pray to God. Use a psalm sometimes as a basis and use that to help you to put things into words. And I've found that has been quite helpful in just writing down what I'm thinking and feeling. Sometimes using hymns can help. Sometimes hymn writers have said, and we're going to sing this one a bit, that 10,000 Reasons for Myself to Sing, and this one. I used to sing it with my mum when she was dying. "The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning." We would sing praises to God. And whatever may pass, really, how many days has she got, whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Praise God, she was singing when her evening came. And also, that's the way of being thankful, even in difficult times. We can be intentionally thankful, even if it doesn't come automatically to us. And when I was 50, and then when I was 60, I took the discipline of sitting there and finding 50 reasons to thank God, and then 60 reasons to be thankful to God. And again, you can use anything, but just being very intentional to stop and think, how do you want me to be thankful? What are you saying to me in and through these difficult situations? A prayer of lament can look as though they're complaining, but they can still be our prayers of faith. And it's a prayer that refuses to let go of God, even in those hard times when he may feel as though he's absent. It's a way of being honest to God and bringing us face to face with him. So I'll just say that some of the ways that God has actually encouraged me as I've looked back on the situation in South Sudan. A lot has been very discouraging, and it's easy to think that the Satan can make you think you've wasted a lot of time because things that you invested your life in have not survived and so on. But one of the things that I found on Facebook, would you believe, was this video of some of you will remember. There's a video I found of the work. Some of you will remember buying tie dye. Those of you in the church years ago, I used to sell tie dye things that the Women's Project, I said, had been part two, used to make. And then I found I do know the workshop continues, but I was absolutely amazed to see a video by Sky News tradition, in the Arabic service, about the women in the workshop, talking about what a difference this project makes in their lives and their sense of community being together. Well, it looks very good, maybe not. Oh yes, there we are. That will do. Yes. We're not having the sound because it's all in Arabic. So just see, that lady actually, her husband just died in Nuba Mountain. He fell off a bicycle, wasn't even shot. But those are such finger sewing machines. So we bought them in like 91, and here they are, still going strong. And so few big projects in Africa that actually carry on for a long time. So I've been absolutely thrilled to see that this workshop is still providing such a place of fellowship, friendship, and opportunity for, you know, the women to earn some money to help provide for themselves. Very much, I believe, because of this lady, Sihan, who has had, I used to work with her on the project, but she's kept it going, and that's what makes something sustainable, to have somebody so capable to go. I also mentioned that the college I was working with, if I go back to my thing, the college I was working with had to close down in 2016. We've got fantastic buildings, and that was a great disappointment. But then, wonderfully, just a couple of weeks ago, the college was able to reopen, relaunch, and they had some great celebrations, and somebody sent me a few photographs that are going to come up in a moment, just in case it was relaunched. So the college has been able to reopen. Of course, it's very fragile. As I mentioned, it was only a few miles away. This guy was shot last Sunday, so that won't encourage people that much. But it's just wonderful to know that the college has been able to open. I pray they can continue. So that was an encouragement. And another thing is, in May, I was able to go to Canada. Well, some of you know, I've had a sponsorship program for some students from Liver Mountains. And to follow that one girl I'd sponsored with to secondary school is now at university in Canada. And she's really going on as a Christian, really growing as a Christian. And so, different ways God has had to encourage me, but things I have been involved with still have he's still at work in those. I'm sorry about the lack of the pictures at the end there. We might do it, right? It's not finished here, so. So anyway, again, I do hope that as you face your challenges in your own personal life, that God will help you to know how to lament in a way that is appropriate. If you've got a photograph there, you're sorry they don't do it very well. They want to say they're not very good quality. But this is my visit. This is Vanessa, the girl from Liver Mountains, at this very good university in Halifax and Canada, and there we are with her. And just in conclusion, from that reading we just had in Corinthians, that we know that as we do walk through difficult things, God is at work in us, but also it all becomes part of who we are in terms of how we can support other people. And it's just praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those. So as we walk through different difficult experiences, pain and loss, as we allow God to work in and through us, we are then able to help other people in our journey with Him. Amen.